This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. It's the Mike Francesa Podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to the Mike Francesa Podcast. As we finally move past the winter doldrums, which were short this year, we are finally at that moment where the NCAA tournament and Selection Sunday is upon us. And the NCAA tournament and all its action that'll provide over the next 2.5 weeks will carry us to Major League Baseball. Obviously, the NFL has already started to percolate. You have the draft to worry about there, and you have all the playoffs in hockey and in basketball, which should be very exciting here in New York. But first up, we look forward to Selection Sunday on what will be St. Patrick's Day and what's going to happen. The big question everyone's been asking in New York the last 3 weeks is, will St. John's make the NCAA tournament? They punched their ticket yesterday with a resounding win against Seton Hall, which had beaten them twice this year. When Rick Pitino came to St. John's, he brought a Hall of Fame background, but he brought a promise, and it was the promise that everybody was excited about, a promise of what was to come, that St. John's, long struggling to regain some semblance of order, that St. John's would return to prominence, return to big nights in the Big East, return to winning ways, return to victories against top-ranked teams, return to the NCAA tournament, and maybe, if things break right in his tenure, they get to cut down a net somewhere along the way. Well, this has been a very frustrating year, at times incredibly frustrating, which has bubbled over for Pitino. This team looked early like it was going to be very good, and then it really went through a very tough time. It has bounced back from that. There are still issues. There are still warts. But Pitino tonight, on what is always the biggest night of any Big East tournament, Friday night in the Big East is always special. That is the night. Just like in the NCAA tournament, the moment before the Final Four starts is the essence of the tournament. Friday night is what the Big East is about. The excitement before the Friday night doubleheader starts, and tonight it's added because not only do you have the nation's best team on the floor in UConn, but you have St. John's returning to a Big East Friday night for the first time in a while and going in as a very, what they hope will be a live underdog against a mighty team. You heard what Pitino said yesterday. You know, what do you need to beat UConn? I need six guys to get COVID. Well, really, Rick was really thinking about five, because when UConn, which yesterday won by almost 30 and didn't play well, when UConn has Klingon, Caravan, Castle, Newton, and Spencer on the floor, there is not a team in America that can match that in any way. Not Houston, not Purdue, who are clearly the other two teams that are on the highest level. I think Tennessee will oust Carolina for the fourth seed. They'll have to go west, but I think they're the fourth best team. I think there are other teams that can win it. We'll go over that Sunday when we get the selection of how many teams we think can win the tournament. I'd say somewhere around seven can win, actually win it. But Patino tonight delivers on promise one. The NCAA tournament is now a given. That's a very big thing for St. John's. And being part of tonight, being there in this first game, in what will be an electric Madison Square Garden against this mighty UConn team, which is really cannot be overstated how talented they are. I mean, they have four NBA players in their starting lineup. I mean, this is an incredibly talented team looking to go back-to-back, something that does not happen often in college basketball. And in this age of college basketball, it's very, very difficult to do because things change so radically year to year. So yesterday, it was a very good moment. I was at the Garden yesterday for the doubleheader. And as St. John's wrapped up the game against Seton Hall and really was sloppy trying to wrap it up. I mean, it should have been wrapped up a lot earlier than it was, but the bottom line is it still got it wrapped up. You could see a real sense of pride in the St. John's faithful who have waited many years for this. And despite all the bumps and outbursts along the way, Patino has delivered in year one. They are going to the NCAA tournament, and now he has them looking for more, looking for a chance to have a special Friday night. And when this game tips off, it will be a very special night in the Garden. Big East Friday night, always the biggest night. But to have the best team in the country and a resurgent St. John's opposing them is everything that the St. John's followers could ever hope for. This is step one. And yes, they'll be greedy and want more steps along the way. They'd love a win or two in the NCAA tournament. This year, one win would be terrific. Two wins would be out of control this year. A trip to the Sweet 16 would be magical if it happened this season. Just going to the tournament is, again, delivering on the promise. So we delivered when they stamped the ticket, punched the ticket for the tournament, and now they have a chance tonight. They delivered on the promise just being there tonight. And if they ever could spring the upset, and it would be a mighty upset. I don't expect them to beat UConn. UConn's that good. I mean, they are just spectacular at times. They are toying with other teams. Toying. And you cannot go, I mean, you can go up the court, be playing well offensively, feel like you're actually playing a productive game, and they will turn around and you'll look at the score and they'll be up 12. Because you have traded twos for threes, number one. And number two, they just come at you in waves. They have so many talented players. The big man's talented. Caravan's a very versatile, talented player. Castle's a he's going to be, I wouldn't be surprised if he's a top 10, top 12 pick in the draft. Newton, Spencer, who's one of the great open court shooters in America. It's a very, very special team. And it is a very special night for St. John's and for the Big East. Because when the Big East has St. John's, it lights up New York. And that's important for the Big East. Now, how many go from the Big East? Five are obviously locked now. UConn's a one seed. and we can quibble about whether they get seeded one or two in the, you know, whether they get seeded one or Purdue gets seeded one. Who cares? Let's see. UConn, Purdue, and Houston are the best three teams in the country. They've been the best three teams in the country all year. They are the best three teams in the country. Like I said, I think Tennessee will oust Carolina for the fourth number one, and they'll have to go west because they will not get the south. So they will not get the southeast, so they'll have to go west. Would they rather be the two in the southeast or the one in the west? I guess they'd rather be the one in the west. I would. I don't know if they would, but I would. Arizona was in it as the other team that could have been a one seed, but they haven't been consistent enough. So UConn's a one. Marquette, if they count the Kolick injuries, if the committee looks at it and understands they're missing Kolick here in games, then Marquette's a two. If not, they'd be a three, but let's say they're a two. Creighton will be a three. So the first three teams are going to have a one and two and three seed. Seton Hall's in. St. John's is in. Villanova's out after losing. We'll get to them in a second. Providence is the other question. Are they in off yesterday's terrific performance? And it was a terrific performance against Creighton. Is that enough for Providence? I think it should be. Some other people think that they need to win one more game. They will play Marquette tonight in the other semifinal. I think they're in. A lot of people think they're right on the edge. We'll see. If Providence plays well again tonight, there'll obviously be six Big East teams in and Villanova out for the second straight year. Villanova needed to win last night and probably needed to win tonight to get into the NCAA tournament. The problem was after a very good December where they went to the Bahamas and really beat up some good teams, they lost the teams that they shouldn't have lost to in the Philly City rivalries, something that never happens in recent years. And it's costly, and then they've been completely erratic. And let's be honest, and this is not me trying to beat up on a coach who's been really beat up on a lot, but their coaching has to improve a lot. Last night, a perfect example. They came down the floor in a game they had to have. They rallied to get back in the game. Give them credit for that. But they came down the floor twice in a tie game with everything on the line. First, just inside a minute. And the player looked to the bench. He didn't want a timeout. He didn't call a play. And they didn't run a play. They did nothing. And they wasted a possession. Marquette missed. They came down again with a chance to win the game as the clock is ticking towards zero. And again, no timeout. Okay, that's a way to play it. But no play. Nothing run. Standing around and then not even getting a shot on the rim. Leaving 2.5. And if you were watching, you know that Marquette put on a clinic. That Shaka put on a clinic from there that really embarrassed Villanova. Here's Villanova, which stood around in the last minute twice and never ran a play. And in 2.5 seconds, Marquette is absolutely putting on a clinic. They take the ball, get it from the inbound, throw it into the front court, timeout. They now have 2.3 seconds to run a play. They run an absolutely brilliant play that leaves the shooter's hands and banks in. And we think the game is over. After minutes of review, it was impossible to tell as the red light goes on and outlines the backboard. That is the, when you see the red light, don't worry about 0-0. When you see the red light, the ball has to be in the air. When you look at this play, and you've probably seen it today, if you want to see it, you can. It may or may not be touching his, it's out of his hand, but is it touching his fingertips as the backboard goes red? Hard to tell. They ruled no basket. Big break for Villanova. Could have gone either way. Was really almost impossible to tell it was so close. They had first ruled it a basket, so if they had ruled it a basket, I don't think anybody would have complained. Maybe a few would have, but the bottom line, people were going to probably complain either way. It was very hard to tell. So they get a break, they go to overtime, they lose. Villanova loses in overtime. Marquette advances without their court general, who's, you know, Kolek's still out with the oblique. He's not going to play in this tournament. He'll be hopefully ready next week because he makes a big difference if they want to make a run. And Marquette's a very good team. But another year of bitter disappointment. Hey, replacing Jay Wright was going to be impossible. What he had built there was unbelievable. Villanova had been the most successful team in America the last 6 years and had been as good as any team in America in the last 10 years. Nobody put together a better resume over the last 10 years than Jay Wright did. Not Duke, not Carolina, not Kansas, not Kentucky, nobody. Villanova was in the top 10 every year. They were a fixture in the Final Four. They won two championships. Nobody else did that. He completely dominated. It was going to be impossible to replace him. But they have players. He didn't leave the cupboard bare. He was left with real talent. If he inherited a team with no players and has had trouble recruiting, you'd say, hey, give this guy a chance to build a franchise, to build a program. That would be fine. He inherited a really talented team. I can guarantee you, without even a thought, that if Jay Wright had coached this team the last 2 years, it would absolutely have been in the NCAA tournament both years. Not even a question. So no one's disputing that the loss of Jay Wright was going to be enormous. But the coaching has to improve. The game coaching has got to improve. And their offensive attack in key spots. You can freelance. You can play many different ways. There's a million different ways to play offense. But you have to have plays at your disposal when the game is on the line, and this team has shown none of that. They look completely lost. That has got to improve. So as we said, looks like six. We can dispute Providence. Do they need another one? Do they not need another one? We'll wait and see. That also depends on what happens across the country. St. John's, Seton Hall, Creighton, Marquette, UConn, obviously are all ready to dance. And it will be a very big game at 5:30 this evening when St. John takes the floor at the Garden against this tremendous UConn team. It'll be a real, real special night at Madison Square Garden. Selection Sunday comes this week on St. Patrick's Day. We will have a podcast up Sunday night about the field, about who can win it, the whole thing, brackets, strength of brackets, everything else. And we will have wall-to-wall coverage all week for you with the NCAA tournament, all week. We'll have podcasts up multiple times, you know, after big games, after upsets, after whatever. So we will be covering this wall-to-wall this week for you, and the podcast will be up, so keep looking for them. There'll be a lot of new stuff all week. So you want to check it every day. There'll probably be something new almost every day. I think there would be. Maybe one day there won't be, but I think almost every day there'll be new stuff this week, day after day after day, as this unfolds. And, you know, if you love the NCAA tournament, what it's about is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I've never gotten excited about playing games. I frankly don't really like them. I understand them, but I don't like them. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday is the essence of this tournament. They play 48 games. They play the bulk of this tournament in these 4 days. 16 games, 16 games, 8 games, 8 games. And the tournament the first weekend is about upsets. It's about building stars. It's about building coaching stars. Because if you're a guy at a mid-major, if you're a guy at a smaller school that nobody, that the nation doesn't know, and all of a sudden he gets hot and wins two games, hey, that's it. He's on his way. He's got his job. He's got his picket jobs. He becomes a household name. The upset does it. The Sweet 16, boom, that's it. For those schools, getting to the Sweet 16 is like the big schools getting to the Final Four. We all know there's only a handful of teams that could actually win this thing, that could play six games and win this thing. It's a very tough thing to do. Even for special teams, it's a very tough thing to do because, you know, you're not playing four out of seven. You're playing one and done. So the best team can have a bad day or get knocked out in a close game. Now, last year, you watched the UConn team do the unusual, and that is never played for its life. Al McGuire used to always go by the idea that you always were going to face one game where it came down to the last shot. No matter who you are, you're going to face that. And you know what? Most years, he's right. Even the team that wins it had their moment that they had to overcome. It definitely happens that way a lot. But last year, UConn just drubbed everybody. They were so much better than everybody. They just became unbelievably dominant. I got to tell you, they're that dominant this year. When they get a run going with Klingon and Caravan and Castle and Newton and Spencer on the floor, those five, when they get it going and they're hitting on all cylinders, there's not a college team that can with them over a five-minute period. That's how good they are. They are scary. Fortunately, they are college kids, so they don't always play to that level, but they are scary good. Purdue's good. And the big man, you know, doesn't want to be denied this year. Houston's real good defensively. They could take anybody out of their offense, and they are a really good team that, you know, they were really good last year. They're really good this year. But when UConn hits that high note, there's no one that can reach that high. So Sunday night, we get the bracket. Brackets up by 7 o'clock. Need an hour or so to analyze it, and then away we go. We'll be up Sunday night with all the NCAA tournament action, and that'll start us off on what will be a crazy week. Your emails when we come back.
You're listening to the Mike Francesa Podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.
Here we go, MikeFrancesaPodcast@gmail.com. Just one thing before I get to the emails. I have spoken a couple of times about our three-year-old that we think is very good, Reynolds Channel. He's in tomorrow at a mile, first race at Gulfstream. So we'll either make our move and take it from there. If we don't win tomorrow, then we, you know, obviously after the way I've talked about him, we would have egg on our face because we've talked about him being what we think is a very good horse. Young horses can stumble in their maiden races. We know that. Especially big horses like he is. Remember, Secretariat didn't win his first race. So it can happen, but we look for a good performance tomorrow. Because right now, we have no margin for error, so that if we don't have a good performance tomorrow, we have to scratch the Derby. The only way we get to the Derby now is win tomorrow, go to a Derby prep, and run first or second, and then we'd be in the Derby. That's the plan, but it has to start with a win tomorrow. Mile race, first race, Gulfstream. So, obviously, we're kind of on pins and needles waiting for that one because we need to win tomorrow, otherwise, no Derby. Bobby starts us off with, I went to the Big East thinking Seton Hall was going to make it to the big dance. However, do you think their loss to St. John's drastically changed their position? No, I don't. I think they're in. I think they've done enough. I think their quad record is good enough. I think they've won enough against good teams. They have premier wins. I didn't think they were playing for a bid yesterday. I think they're in, and I think now St. John's is in. I think Providence should be in, but some people feel they need to play well or win tonight against Marquette. So we'll see. So fives are given for the Big East. Six, I think, is very possible. I do think Providence will make it. Dave, I know you have given praise to Francona's managerial skills. Do you believe he should be a Hall of Fame manager? There's not even a question. I mean, that's not even debatable. He is absolutely, absolutely a Hall of Famer. Francona is a Hall of Famer. Case closed. Not even a question. Chris, just wondering who Tibbs will bench when Randall is available. I think it's very, you know, you have multiple guys that can go back to the bench. That's not even an issue. Not even an issue. That's you know, guys are going to go back to their original roles. That's not going to be an issue. I think Robinson, from what I can hear, what I heard yesterday, Robinson seems to be ahead of him. So Robinson could be back soon. I don't know what the status is with Randall right now. But I think Robinson's finally coming back, and he's going to be a big positive because he is a very good rebounder, especially offensive rebounder. Daniel, if the Jets had Tyrod Taylor last year, would they have snuck into the playoffs? You know, that's a good question. That is a good question. He can win, and he's a good quarterback. He can play in that league, especially, and he's got a habit of getting hurt. But when he only has to play for three or four games, he's at his best, I think. But I think over the period of time, would they have made the playoffs? I think they would have had a chance. I think it would have been very close if he had been there. I don't think it's automatic by any stretch, but I think it's a possibility. You know, a couple of things that have gone on here, you've seen these quarterback movement with Howell going now to Seattle, obviously Locke coming to the Giants. You got Ridder going to Arizona. So you got quarterbacks bouncing here, there, and everywhere. And you're hearing more and more about who's kind of locked in at quarterback. And it really looks now like you will have four quarterbacks taken in the top 10. And maybe even because you could have quarterbacks 1, 2, 3. I don't know about 3 anymore because I don't think the Pats could trade that pick for someone who wants a quarterback. Or they could trade that pick to somebody who's in love with Marvin Harrison Jr., or they could take Marvin Harrison Jr. So I don't know which way the Pats are going to go, but it now looks almost certain that you will have four quarterbacks in the top 10. And could even have four quarterbacks in the top 8. And 3 is a little up in the air right now. But there's a very distinct possibility that somebody trades up into the 3 spot, not going for Harrison, going for the 3rd quarterback. So we'll see how that plays out. But you've seen this quarterback movement. I know that I have stressed how much I want the Jets to get Smith to play left tackle. I understand that I don't know if the Jets have made him an offer. I don't know that he hasn't given up going back. There's been a lot of talk of him going back to the Cowboys on a 1-year deal. If somebody goes and offers him a multi-year deal now, I understand that you're taking his age into consideration, but again, I cannot stress enough, you do not get a chance to get this tight. This is a Hall of Fame offensive tackle. You do not get, I mean, this guy's credentials, 8-time Pro Bowl, all-decade team, 3-time, I believe 3-time first team All-Pro. I think 5 times on the All-Pro team, either first or second team. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's been a great player when he's healthy. Now, has he missed games? Absolutely. If he didn't miss games, even at his age, he wouldn't be on the market this long. But last year, he played 942 snaps. He was healthy last year. And he led the NFL. He was the number one pass-blocking player in the NFL. The highest-ranking pass blocker in the NFL last year was Smith. To not grab him is complete stupidity. Now you're going to tell me, oh, you can't risk the injury. Well, you don't think you're risking the injury with Rodgers? You can't get a Hall of Fame left tackle. And that's what we're talking about. If there isn't an issue somewhere, but this is a good roll of the dice. He isn't a good player. He's a great player when he plays. And last year he played 942 snaps. 610 pass plays, gave up 20 pressures. Are you kidding me? I mean, I understand that there are guys Rodgers might be closer to. I don't care. This guy, if you're the Jets and have this kind of issue on the offensive line, this is a guy you have to sign. You watch. They're going to wait, and he's going to go back to the Cowboys. Because he really does want to go back to the Cowboys, but he wants a multi-year deal. And the Cowboys say, we don't have the money to give you a multi-year deal. We'd have to find the money. I think the Cowboys said they only have about $2 million to work with. But they said we could find the money to get him a one-year deal, you know, in somewhere in the $12 million range or something. The bottom line is, he wants to go back there. That doesn't mean he is going back there. If somebody offers a multi-year deal, I think he'll take it. That's why he's a free agent. You don't get a chance when you have the kind of acute problems they have. You don't get the chance to get a player of this magnitude. Jump on it. We'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to the Mike Francesa podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.